Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Solving puzzles on a moon to find your friends in Turing Test. A Hat in Time, the game none of us played. A brand new NPC group game that we all play together. All that and more on this week's episode of Real Dudes Podcast. Welcome one, welcome all to the show called Real Dudes Podcast. With me today, on my left, I've got Cody.
What's up, going? What the heck was that? How's it going?
About like 300 yards to my right, I've got Andrew.
Ugh, yeah, I'm here.
He so sounds enthusiastic. Super happy.
Yeah, well, life of the party.
And I think about 20 feet in the air above me, just floating around, I've got Carrington.
Hey, hey, hey.
He sounds
well, you know, he's trying to offset me.
Yeah. Well, and plus you said I was high, so I was trying to take it like, you know, I'm high.
Oh.
You know, get it? Get it?
Okay. Oh, my goodness. All right.
He's like, yes, just we're doing all the drugs and whatnot, you know.
And the pudding and the sweaters. And,
hey, now, whoa, you know, now, that's not the kind of drugs we want to promote.
We are starting out on the right foot.
Yes, absolutely.
Very cool. So, guys, we've got an exciting show. Talk a little bit about a game called Turing Test, and I pronounced that wrong, so I'm at fault for pronouncing games wrong, too, now.
At least you didn't say so, Turing Test.
I did. I did on my stream, and I did last week or whatever. Yeah. Oh, boy. And then A Hat in Time. So, look at that. We got some news. And then also, towards the end of the show, we wanted to try something a little new and have a little bit of fun and play a game that we'll get into later. So, hopefully it turns out good. And if you all like it, we will make this regular. So, yeah. To kick off the show, Turing Test.
Mm-hmm.
I had some time to play this game. I don't know. Did anybody else get a chance to check it out?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I YouTubed it. Okay.
That's good enough.
I'll second that.
It's good enough. So, I jumped in this for a little bit, and I haven't beat it yet, but I've been trying to stream it and get a Let's Play series put together for it. Turing Test is a first-person puzzler. Basically, the game is you're playing as Ava Turing, and you are on Jupiter's moon, Europa.
Yep.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And so basically, in the game, she's waking up, and she wakes up by artificial intelligence, that this artificial intelligence has woken her up out of a cryogenic sleep, and she has to go save her crew members that are in danger in the moon that are at a specific site. She takes a pod down to the moon from her space station to the moon base, and then that's where the puzzles start coming into play here. The game itself actually plays out. The Turing test, as it tests the AI's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior to that of human behavior.
Which is a real test, by the way. Continue on.
Ah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So like I said, I haven't completed the game. I'm a good ways through. There's a really good twist to the plot.
Oh, it is fantastic. If you guys have not played it, the twist is definitely worth it. Like, I am not going to spoil it because you guys need to play it. I know we've spoiled games in the past for various reasons, but I will not spoil this because it is that good.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil this either. It's Yeah, it threw me off. Some of the puzzles I did find challenging, and in these puzzles, you basically collect energy spheres, and you shoot them into special receptacles so you can power different doors and platforms. But yeah.
I will say, did it remind you of Portal at all?
Yeah, that's actually okay. That's what I was going to go into. Yeah, I really would say that the people over at Bulkhead Interactive, the ones that developed the game, were inspired by Portal.
I will say that. I mean, and it's not a bad thing or in a bad way. You can definitely tell that it is. It does take some qualities, some inspiration, if you will,
yeah,
from Portal. So if you guys are out there Portal fans and you're looking for something similar to scratch an itch because Portal is amazing, Turing Test will definitely be a good game for you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I almost feel like Portal is one of those games that I probably should revisit. And I never played the second one, but as soon as I kind of got the gun in Turing Test,
mm-hmm,
and then started interacting with the puzzles, that's immediately what came to my head was Portal. Good puzzler. The puzzles, like I said, I did find were challenging. The beginning ones were somewhat easy, but as you progress further throughout the game, they definitely do get a lot more challenging. The thing that I guess the bad thing about the game is pretty, like, in my opinion, it's pretty flawless, but the load times. The first load screen that I hit, I noticed that I was just sitting there staring at the screen. The second load screen that I hit, I had a timer set up for it. And anybody want to guess what the load screen timer was?
43 seconds.
Cody?
10 minutes.
I'm going to guess a full 60 seconds.
1 minute and 10 seconds of loading.
Cow. I was closest.
Yeah.
I win.
I think you went over, though, so.
You were over.
Yeah. $1, Bob.
Yeah. Way over. That took away from the experience a little bit. It got to the point where I thought that the game had froze, but I stuck it out a little bit longer, and it didn't freeze. It was just a ridiculous loading time. But other than that, like I said, the game is creative. The environment is really cool. I'm a sucker for, like, the spacey sci-fi environment. It kind of also reminded me of Tacoma in a way, through some of the details in the game, and then also, you know, just being in that setting with a space station. And the voiceovers I thought was good, and that also reminded me of Portal, was the interaction between Tom and Ava.
And I will say, too, that it does bring up a lot of different, you know, philosophical and moral questions and situations, but you have not gotten there yet, Kyle. But mm-hmm, I will say that this is one of those games that makes you think.
Yeah. I could see that. That's basically my wrap of Turing Test.
Based on what you've played so far, if you could give it a rating at this moment in time, what would it be?
That's difficult because I haven't finished it.
Right.
So just the first thing that came to my head, I'll just say like a nice moonshine.
Ooh.
But I'm fitting. So,
I'm gonna have to agree.
But
with
yeah,
that.
I really do look forward to finishing it. And I will be getting a Let's Play together. I finished the What Remains of Edith Finch.
Bench.
And that is uploaded to YouTube. So we'll be uploading these as well, shortly. So, yeah.
Cool beans.
I will say I have finished it, and I would agree with that on the moonshine thing, because it's a really good game. And it's not like, because we other like games we've covered in the past that are like this have been more first person experiences, but this is a more of a puzzle game. So there is a lot more going on. You're not just going around
experiencing things.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Turing Test. Next on the list is A Hat in Time.
A Hat in Time.
And I'm going to be 100% honest.
Uh-huh.
I did not do much research on this game.
Well, it's a platformer. It is available on the PC, and I think it just came out on PS4 as well, if I remember right. Don't quote me on that one, but it did just come out on PC. What's that?
I'm going to have to look that up then.
Okay.
Because I was really, of course, I think I was the one who actually brought this game up. I was definitely excited about it.
It's definitely out on PC. I can say that much because that's how I played it. But unfortunately, I did not have a lot of time to play it. Unfortunately, because of another game that's probably going to get Game of the Year or close to it.
The one we discussed previously.
Yeah, exactly.
From what I did see this game, Hat in Time, developed by Gears for Breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Published by
from
Square.
From the screenshots.
No, Humble Bundle, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Before I actually chat about it, did any of you get to play it?
I got to play about an hour of it so far.
Okay.
I mean, Steam has it down as a 10 out of 10, so it's got to be good, right?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. but
yeah, go on.
From what I saw about from my research on it, it definitely hits the notes of like your old Nintendo 64 and GameCube type 3D type platformer.
Oh yeah, I highly agree with that because well, first of all, it's about a girl who has this. I don't even know if she has a name or not, but she's trying to
Hat Kid.
She's trying to get home, and like the first word it drops you in, it reminds me of, you know, say like Mario 64 or Rocket Robot on Wheels, where you just have this world you're exploring and just doing different like side quests and missions to basically continue on the storyline. And I had a great time with it because you are trying, at least the part I was in. You're trying to defeat the mafia, which I thought was crazy and awesome. They all have like really heavy, thick, stereotypical Russian accents. The mafia does. It is hilarious. It reminds me. It does a lot. Also remind me a lot of like a normal cartoon you would see on like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or something like that, which is not a bad thing at all because I love those cartoons. So, like, just thought I was just in the regards to like the humor and stuff I'm talking about. It reminds me of like I'm watching a cartoon almost.
Okay. Does it control like those old school platformers? I guess I wouldn't. Are those considered even old school platformers?
Gosh, I hate to call them old school platformers because I remember those so well. But yeah, it does remind me a lot of those. The ones I mentioned, like Super Mario 64, Rocket Robot on Wheels, Spyro, Crash. It reminds me a lot of those older platforms games.
Maybe the first generation 3D platformers.
Yeah. Yeah, and it even looks like it too, but in a way, but not in a bad way.
Okay. Very cool. I saw something about it being on Xbox. Unfortunately, I don't play PC or PS4, so I have not had a chance to.
Yeah, I don't think it's out on PS4 yet. I just looked.
Okay. It does have a PS4 announcement, though. I do know that much.
But no, I think your assessment was pretty accurate, Carrington. I watched a good bit of video on that one because, like I said, I was just hoping I would actually be able to get to play it. But, like I said, that's how it goes. But,
Mr. Farmer.
Like some, and I don't do PC. I'm like Kyle. So it's like, even if I had had the time, it's like, yeah, busy time of year. So it made it difficult. Plus the fact that it was, not available, basically. Yeah. But no, I'm pretty much everything you said, Carrington. I think it's right on. Just from my observation of it, I really like the style of it. You know, graphically, like I said, it really puts you in the mind. Like I said, Crash Bandicoot, you know, Banjo Kazooie type thing. And then I don't know. To me, it was really very charming. Like I watched a little bit of video on it, and like the more and more I watched, I'm like, dude, this is really cool. Like, it's kind of a throwback, but obviously a bit of unique, just like anything, you know, unique twist on, you know, a lot of very old and familiar concepts, kind of a nostalgia factor, because like you grudgingly did admit, we're, you know, from our generation, it's starting to actually become like, all the games we grew up on are becoming like vintage games now.
No!
So kind of like a vintage, you know, throwback in a lot of ways. So I was very much on board. And once again, I'll add it to the laundry list of games I plan on completing at some point.
Maybe once we access to it, we can revisit this.
Yes, I agree.
But discussing this has brought a question into mind. So, like, going back to those mid to late 90s 3D platformers like Croc, Gex.
Oh, Gex. Oh, I love Gex.
Banjo-Kazooie.
A good one. Yeah.
Spyro. Well, obviously Mario 64. Those are all, like, iconic characters. Do you think that we'll ever see, like, a new iconic gaming character?
Absolutely.
Obviously, we'll see iconic gaming characters, but like a 3D platformer, like a cutesy character that resembles.
Oh, like a new one, like a brand new one that we haven't seen yet, kind of thing.
Yeah, like a brand new one.
No,
yeah,
no, we won't. Actually,
that'll be as popular.
Now that you phrase that, the reason why, in my opinion, is because things have gotten too complex and too high tech. Like, you might have a game that's cute. I mean, and once again, I guess we'll see where it goes, but like Cuphead, which I think is a silly character anyway, but I don't think that.
Oh, come on now. I've heard your opinion on it.
Well, I'm just reiterating, you know. But like something like that, like it's a cute game and it may have a lot of, you know, fanfare, but it's never going to be, like I said, a Mario or a Spyro or anything like that.
It's never going to get its own mascot, like commercial type thing.
No, will there be more iconic video game characters? Undoubtedly, but I don't know that you'll ever see. It's like, so I like the way you put it, like a relatively simplistic, cutesy type game. I don't ever see them rising because, like, back when those characters were the thing, like, that was because that was the stuff, man. That was like cutting edge. That was AAA. Yeah. That was a top tier title. And now, like I said, these platformers that are kind of that mold, they're just kind of a cute little sideshow afterthought. So, yeah, I don't see them ever getting to that status again.
I have to wholeheartedly agree with that because I feel like there have been some, I don't know, there have been attempts at ones trying to create new video game characters that just haven't necessarily, you know, gone well with the masses, so to speak, such as Ty the Tasmanian Tiger. He was on the Xbox, GameCube, and PS2. And I remember the marketing for him. You know, he was supposed to be like the next character, and he was supposed to be, you know, better than Mario, better than Sonic. And I think we only saw a couple of games out of him. So it's not easy now to try and create a character that's quote a mascot, especially if you're trying to force one. Because if you think about, say, Mario, Sonic, Spyro, you know, all of them, they weren't trying to be icons. They just kind of became one because of what they've brought to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Would you say that the last quote unquote iconic character or creature from this kind of that mold, would that be like the Raving Rabbids or something? Because I feel like that's probably the last one that comes to my mind. I may be forgetting somebody, but
that would,
is that the last one? And they're not like Mario level, but they're decently famous. And, you know,
I mean, they got their own commercial, didn't they?
Yeah, they had their own games.
I consider that success. Like, if getting your own commercial, that is, yeah.
But I mean, is that kind of the last one, or am I missing one?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah.
And they're kind of like moderately famous. They're definitely not on like that top tier.
And if we're talking, I mean, we're still talking like platformers and stuff too. I mean, if you're talking even just in general, I mean, Nathan Drake is newer than that. And I don't.
Yeah. But that goes into like the category of just iconic video game characters.
And we're talking platformers here. I don't know. I mean, Raving Rabbids, I guess, kind of counts.
Like I said, I admit it's kind of a stretch. Like, I'm just saying, like, that kind of just shows, like, that it's slowly declined. And it's like, that's the last little blip on the radar, so to speak.
And that's really sad to see.
But does it truly count because there's multiple Rabbids?
They all have personalities, in a way.
I mean,
yeah. I think I'm more talking about the creature itself, yeah, not a specific one.
I mean, they're like the Minions, but Rabbids were first.
That's exact, yeah.
And to me, I think the Rabbids are better characters than the Minions are. That's just my opinion.
Ooh, that's a good question to put up on social media. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Who was the last iconic, like, cutesy video game character? I don't know how
I think cutesy's good, you know, because, like I said, I brought up Nathan Drake, and he's not a, quote, cutesy character.
No.
And as much as Andrew and I love, say, the Borderlands franchise, they're not known characters, and they've changed from
one to two. Butt Stallion is pretty adorable.
Oh, of course, Butt Stallion is the best. A diamond horse. I mean, what can go wrong there?
Does he have horse armor?
What's that?
Did you say a diamond horse?
Yeah.
With horse armor?
No, he's a diamond horse.
Literally a diamond horse named Butt Stallion.
Sounds awesome.
And then, of course, there's Earl and Scrappy. Where are you, Scrappy?
Okay, he is the best character as far as, like, that actually talks. And he's the one that... And I love that they carried him over from 1 to 2 also, so...
If we better stop now, because I'm going to start quoting so many random Borderlands character like lines you don't even know. It's going to wreck the episode.
All right, back on track.
So, besides Mario, I'm going to stay on this just for a second. Out of, like, those core mascots, who was your favorite growing up?
I think I've made it quite clear. I am much more a Sonic fan than a Mario fan.
But Sonic doesn't count either. I'm talking about...
dang.
Because Sonic fits a tier with Mario, but he's below Mario. So
yeah, that's what I thought.
So what are our choices here? What are our choices? So
we're talking like Croc, Gex, Spyro, Bubsy.
Bubsy, may he rest in peace. Bubsy, may he rest in peace, because they recently released a video game, and it is terrible. It is terrible. So may he rest in peace.
Crash Bandicoot.
Is Banjo on there?
I feel like Donkey Kong. Yeah.
Donkey Kong. Yeah, okay.
Banjo. I feel like there's one more.
Sonic.
Donkey Kong.
Not Sonic. or Donkey Kong.
That's core Nintendo, though. I'm thinking either on your list, it's either going to be Banjo or Gex, personally.
Crash Bandicoot.
Or Gex. Crash Bandicoot.
Now, what are we limiting ourselves to? Like,
just any other mascot but Sonic and Mario, because those are obviously the two top dogs.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Donkey Kong if that's the case, unless you're not allowing that.
I would say Gex as well. I played that the most when
I
was a kid.
And he's so witty and just fantastic. They need to bring him back.
This is a good question. If we have even one person listening, tweet at us. What was your favorite iconic cutesy mascot gaming character of the mid to late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, that's good. If DK's not acceptable, I guess my other submission kind of, I think I'm more going along with the vein you're thinking, I would probably go Banjo-Kazooie myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I wish that was a series that I was able to play, but I never had the chance.
I have Rare Replay. I will let you borrow it just to play those games.
Yeah, I do want to play him at some point. Maybe when I get sick for a long time.
That's a nice thought. That's really something to look forward to.
When I get sick.
When I get really sick next time.
Yeah. Well, if I'm sick, time to play Banjo-Kazooie. I guess we'll visit A Hat in Time whenever.
When we have more time.
If we have more. That's nice.
Yes, yep,
very
yep.
Nice.
When we have... more time and hats. More hats.
And this is just really a bad time just for all of us and just gamers in general. Because, you know, Super Mario Odyssey just came out. We're having a couple more big releases within the next couple weeks. And then December is just going to be crazy. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be tough.
Mega load. All right. So let's take a quick break and then get on to some news. And a special game, and maybe some just more banter, just some more chatting.
Thank goodness, because I have to pee. Hey everyone, Carrington here to tell you about our newest affiliate that is now a part of the RDP family. Please welcome Turtle Beach. Turtle Beach has some of the greatest and latest gaming headsets, no matter what kind of gamer you are. And having a Turtle Beach gaming headset in your arsenal gives you the competitive advantage that you need. I have a Turtle Beach Stealth X04 right now, and it is fantastic. I would highly recommend it. So you can head on over to realdudespodcast.com/turtlebeach, and you can get some great deals as well as being able to support the show as well. That's realdudespodcast.com/turtlebeach, and you can head on over there right now. Right now. Go. What are you doing here? Bye.
Do you like to rage quit? Sometimes, we all do. Do you like to take a sledgehammer and smash it right over your phone? Or do you like to take your phone and throw it right into your TV? How about, do you like to take your phone and throw it into a fire? Yeah, we all like to rage quit sometimes. But thankfully, there's OtterBox. OtterBox offers a range of cases that fit every taste and lifestyle. Their cases use patented technology that provides superior protection for smartphones. With their innovative engineering group, dozens of patents, and robust sales and marketing teams, OtterBox is growing and expanding and plans to continue this trend. So, before you buy a phone accessory, make sure you check out OtterBox, and you can do that by going to realdudespodcast/affiliates and clicking right on that OtterBox link.
We here at Real Dudes want to give a huge shout out to Guitaro Man for letting us use his music on this episode. You can find more of his music on SoundCloud, and be sure to give him a follow on Twitter at IAmGuitaroMan. That is GITARUMAN. Thanks, and let's get back to this episode.
Welcome back to the Real Dudes Podcast. Real briefly, before we get into this game that we wanted to try out, there's some news that we wanted to discuss. Sing it, man. Rhyme is releasing on the Switch, as well as Rocket League is releasing on the Switch on November 14th. From what I saw, they're both releasing on the same day.
Yeah, yeah. So I have already just accepted I'm going to be broke for the next probably month and a half.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty exciting news. I keep thinking about, like, oh, great, another port to the Switch. But then I also think about, like, that is great. It's incredible that all these developers and these publishers are putting these games on this system and just loading it up with a library of games, games that people may have never played before. And I think that, so I'm not a huge Nintendo fanboy. I've you know, discussed this on the show before, but I love the Switch right now. And in my opinion or my point of view, I feel like people that play Nintendo are playing, you know, the AAA Nintendo games, the Mario, Donkey Kongs, Zeldas, Star Foxes. And I feel like that's kind of the majority that's available. And then now they're stockpiling all these indie games to keep people busy in between the big AAA releases. Is that... Am I wrong for thinking that?
I think you're correct. And the indie games that are available, they have like really small indie games as well that they're not really advertising. Then you have the quote bigger indie titles, so to speak, like Rhyme or Rocket League that are also hitting the Switch. And so you can, so all kinds of people and developers are getting their opportunity to shine, so to speak. And also, I mean, as far as the haters are concerned, they're always complaining as far as Nintendo consoles are concerned that, oh, they have no support. Well, they can't really say that anymore because Nintendo is really going out and getting the AAA developers as well as the bigger indie titles onto their console.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I am surprised that even Doom is releasing on the Switch. Like,
yeah, me too. That's shocking.
Yeah. It's just they're getting everyone on board for the system, and I think that is excellent. I mean, this system is going to excel, and I'm excited to see what the future of it is going to be. There's something else, Monopoly on Switch.
Yeah, so Monopoly released today, and if you download it, be prepared for a 15-plus minute load time, and I am not joking. I think it was Game Informer or Kotaku, one of those two, did a video on it, and it literally took them 15 minutes to load into the game. But apparently there was a patch out there. I cannot confirm it, but allegedly there is a patch out there that fixes that, and then you have to restart your console completely, and then it's, you know, less than 60 seconds.
Yeah, it gets that load time down there, you know, that 110 mark. You know, I know Kyle's exactly. real happy with.
I mean, hey, that's a pretty big improvement if you're going from 15 minutes to a minute 10.
15 minutes? Who has a load time of 15 minutes? That is insane. Crazy. Who released that? I think Ubisoft published it. Like, shame on you, Ubisoft. Shame
they're
on you.
They're wanting to build anticipation, I mean, and they got a little carried away.
Did they not test play that? And they're like, hey, guys, it's going on 7 minutes here. Nothing's going on.
I don't know. Like, whoever, like, greenlit it and decided to release it with a 15-minute load time. Like, who?
And it's Monopoly, too.
Exactly. Like, there's nothing to load.
No. That's disappointing.
I can confirm it is a Ubisoft game.
Okay. So, but it doesn't, I mean, it's probably a glitch. They're known for their glitches. Or whatever.
I mean, their games break. 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So remember, if you decide to buy it out there and you're listening, restart your console. Like, completely turn it off and turn it back on. Not sleep mode, but actually turn it off, turn it back on. It should fix it. Should.
And if not, blame Carrington specifically.
Yes, you can blame me. Blame it on my ADD,
what if
baby.
What if somebody does that and they listen to you and then their Switch just explodes?
Blame Ubisoft.
Don't blame Carrington.
No,
blame
Ubisoft. Blame
Ubisoft.
Yeah. Okay. They deserve it.
All right. So I feel like we should like do some kind of game on here. And I was thinking like video game 20 questions. And I know that some other places do like back of the box trivia. I saw this on Reddit, and I thought I wanted to give it a try. It's called the NPC game.
Okay.
So, basically, you guys have to guess the game that I'm describing, and the way that I'm describing it is through the eyes of an NPC in that game.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, I took time. I didn't copy anybody. I took time and just wrote up five different scenarios for five different games. And I'm going to read them off. And I guess if you know the game, say your name, and then I will choose you and you guess. And if you don't guess it right, then you don't get a point. Ooh, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Everybody get that?
Yeah.
I think if you get it wrong, you should lose points.
So, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm just making this up on the go.
How much in the hole can you go?
Like, how much in the hole can you go?
Yeah. How many negative points is it possible to get?
All of them.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You can go as far negative as you
apparently
can possibly.
Apparently five negative points since there's five questions.
Okay. So, yeah. So what I'll do is, whoever says their name first, I will pick you, and then you guess. If you guess right, you get a point. If you guess wrong, you do not get a point.
Cody, you are at a severe disadvantage tonight, my friend.
Yes, I am. That's why I asked.
And so if this goes well, we can make this a regular thing. I mean, we don't have to do it every recording, but we could, you know, do it once a month or once every other month or something and just keep track of points. And then, maybe, you know, if we go throughout a whole year of doing this, or maybe like 6 months, we could like, the winner could get a prize at the end of the year. I don't know. A special trophy. So let me write this down real quick. And all right. So I'm gonna read the first one. This boy came into my house. He picked all of my pottery up and started smashing it on the ground.
Andrew. Andrew said his name.
Okay, Andrew.
That would be Zelda.
Which Zelda?
What? Okay, wow. This has to be at least a half point, no matter what. I feel like I'm playing with house money at this point.
All right, I'll give you point. I'll give you 0.5 for that.
I still have to guess.
You can guess.
Let's see here. I'm gonna have to say Breath of the Wild because it's the most recent one.
Nope.
Dang you.
All right,
Carrington. I'm gonna say Ocarina of Time.
That's it.
Rigged.
No, I'll keep reading it to you. He stole all of my gems, my secret stash of bombs, and had an annoying little fairy constantly harassing him to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Navi. We just had to keep listening. Hey, listen.
Some days I see him torturing chickens by holding onto their feet and jumping off the tops of buildings. Or just throwing them off the cliff to satisfy his own sick sense of humor. Navi was the only one in Ocarina of Time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then there was one in Majora's Mask, but I don't remember that.
Anyway.
All right, next one. I should have done more of these. This one might be a little bit more difficult. I love my master. Sometimes I'll hide in the grass all day while he hunts. Other times, I'll jump out and scare the feathers right off those pesky mallards. He gets so frustrated when I'm... Andrew.
Duck Hunt.
Yep.
Oh, nice, nice. I didn't even see that one coming.
All right.
I don't know any of these.
I tried getting something that you might know that... Well, we'll see. All right. This person is a hard worker. Chopping trees, fishing, checking their mailbox.
Carrington.
Andrew. Carrington.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah. I didn't have a specific one for that one.
Mm. Well, convenient, I might add, but whatever.
Okay. Next one. I see this person driving a different car every day. They never follow the laws, driving on the left side of the road constantly. They smash into road signs and never get in trouble.
Andrew?
1 minute they could be driving us.
Yeah, me.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto?
Nope.
Dang.
Ooh.
Good guess, though. 1 minute they could be driving a sports car and the next a dune buggy. Sometimes they will launch off a randomly made ramp and jump over roads.
Carrington.
Just to get to Carrington.
Forza Horizon?
Which one?
3?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. That was a complete shot in the dark for me.
All right, this is the last one. I should have made more of these.
Guys are texting each other in the background. Don't lie. We all know.
All right. This will be good. I keep this bloody mansion clean every day of this week. There's an American Ninja Warrior obstacle course out back. I tend to the pool on a daily basis, even in the days when she's out exploring. When she's home, do you know how
Andrew?
She repays me? Andrew?
Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Yes!
What? Yep.
First one. Yeah.
Which Tomb Raider?
It's the butler from Tomb Raider. The first one.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I had. Man, I should have made more of those. That was kind of
fun. That was actually pretty fun.
Yeah. So, Cody, you're at a safe 0.
Yeah!
Carrington, you're at 3.
Woo!
Andrew, you are at 1.5.
That is correct.
So
mostly
I will
because
say those,
you're just totally backing up your boy, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what we could do, I mean, if you guys have some that you want to make, you can, we could rotate whoever, you know, reads them off. Or if anyone listening has any, you know, special ones they want to do.
See that? I like you. I appreciate you, Cody. 105, that's right. You know.
You can send them to us through our email, podcast@realdudes.com or realdudespodcast.com, or send it to us through Twitter. But yeah, that's what I had. We'll definitely do that again. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. I like the way you worded stuff. I'm going to be trying creative and come up with something.
Yeah, I figure, because, yeah.
So I just want to clarify, is this point system like golf, so the lowest amount of points wins? In that case, I'm winning.
Yeah, we'll just do that. Yeah, lowest points wins. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I can play that game.
Start, yeah. Twisted Metal. No, it was Donkey Kong. So yeah, that's what I had. Hey! Carrington, we recently chatted about Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
In our latest mini.
Yes.
How's that going for you?
So at the time we last recorded, I said I didn't have too much time with it. Well, uh-huh. I now have a ton of time with it, to the point where now I've beaten it. So I can officially say that this game is officially awesome and one of the better Mario games out there, hands down. Okay. So, like I said, I remember saying last time that the new Donk City level was probably some of the best level design of all time. It still holds true. The last, I'm not even going to spoil it because you guys need to play it. The last probably 10, 15 minutes, probably some of the best moments I've ever had in a Mario game ever, like ever, ever. And then after you beat the game, there is much more to do. And the difficulty ramps up significantly. We're talking Dark Souls, Cuphead level difficulty. And I am not even lying. Yeah, it's tough. It's really hard. Because you're talking like precise platforming and the puzzle solving is ridiculous. I can't tell you how many times I've died in the last 2-3 hours. Because it's insane.
That they wanted to make the core game somewhat family friendly. And then after you beat the game, then they dish out the difficult stuff to you.
I think so. Like something like little Johnny or little Susie could play and still have fun with it. But like someone,
little John,
yeah, little John. You know, he's a gamer too, I'm sure. Yeah. And then to balance it out, to give people like you and me and, you know, us on the podcast here and those that are listening a nice challenge at the same time, so that way we can also be satisfied as well. And Nintendo did a really good job with that.
Well, it sounds like you are satisfied with the ending of Mario. I still need to pick it up. I've been thinking about picking it up tomorrow, but then I keep thinking about the holiday season's coming up. Mm-hmm. And
and all the games that are coming out?
Well,
Black Friday's what he's also thinking about.
Black Friday!
Yeah, that Cyber like, what Monday. Deals are going to be out. Yeah, so I might be patient and wait and see if I can get it for a decent price.
Yeah, I would highly recommend Odyssey as much as I would something like Zelda, obviously.
Odyssey Imagine is... That. Another good Mario game, and when was the last time? Let me check my watch that they came out with a decent Sonic game. Oh, like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Hey now, hey now. Up,
you know, plus minus.
But, yeah. Sonic game this month, actually.
They are Sonic Forces, and I will be picking that up.
Is that the one with the create your own character?
Yep. I have thoughts and opinions about that, but we're not talking about Sonic.
I know we're not, because there ain't no point.
Just a quick question. Mm-hmm. In Sonic Forces, I haven't seen anything about the create your own character. Can you just play as your me?
No, thank God.
Oh, you should be able to, because that would be awesome.
That would be so weird.
Yeah.
Just as weird as the human Sonic relationship in Sonic 06.
Yeah. Oh, that game was good, though.
Mm-hmm. No. Gosh, no. It doesn't exist in my mind.
Yeah.
That's curious, man. Yep, sounds like the kind of character I want to hang my hat on.
Sonic Colors was decent. The Wii and Wii U Sonic games were actually really good.
Carrington, just like play back your audio like the last like 5 minutes where you were gushing like a little schoolgirl about Mario. And that's right. You know.
No, I will not give in.
So speaking of Mario and New Donk City and other famous characters. During our break, Andrew had brought up a question that was worth discussing. And I will let him relay that question to our audience.
Okay. What would be your, first off, I guess I've probably set the stage with, what's your favorite Super Smash game, whether that be 64, Melee, Brawl, whatever the case might be. And then what's your favorite character and why? And allow, you could have a power character and a speed character.
Power and a speed.
So I'm going to, I guess I'll host this little bit. So I guess go Cody, because you've been so chatty tonight.
Pass. I'm looking at all the Smash games because I don't know them all.
Okay.
It's Nintendo, guys. You should know this.
It's fine.
You played Smash?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
All right. We'll edit that part out. Okay. So I think we'll go first to Carrington.
So my favorite Smash is definitely Melee on the GameCube. I mean, for obvious reasons, because it's fantastic and amazing. And, you know, the speed's right. And I feel like that the controls are the tightest. Smash 4 is a close second, very close second. But I think Melee is perfection when it comes to the Smash series. Okay. Brawl is the forbidden stepchild we don't talk about. And my favorite character or characters.
Yeah, you can, if you have just one, that's fine. But if you want a list of speed and a power, because I know I have a preference on both of those myself.
Gotcha. So mine is Sheik / Zelda, because you get best of both worlds. If I have to choose one of them, because in Smash 4 they're separate, I have been maining Zelda recently as of late, but I still like Sheik a lot.
Okay. That's basically ride or die with that one, or are you counting that as two?
I'm going to count it as two, because Zelda's really a more of a power-ish character. She's a really heavy hitter. She can rack up damage really fast, really quick. And Sheik is just a very nice speed character. She can rack up damage very fast, very quick, but she does not have a finishing move like Zelda does. And Zelda has some great finishers, which I love. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, good and bad thing on Nintendo's part for separating them in Smash 4, because it causes you to play differently. If I'm playing Melee, you know, I just use Sheik, rack up that damage till I get, you know, 80-90 points, and then switch over to Zelda and just finish you off.
Fair enough. Now, I guess then, so is that anything else you want to add, or are you good?
I am good, because 64 gets a huge shout out, because it started the series, and it's a great game. And I mean, when you go back to it, it's like, oh gosh, I can't believe we ever played this. But I remember being a kid and spending hours and hours on Smash 64.
Gotcha. All right.
That game still holds up value, too. Because even at like local retro shops that have games, like old games there, that game still goes for $50, $60.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo games tend to not lose their value over time very quickly.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy, yeah. Which cool deal. I think speaks to a lot of how they make games, but we're getting off topic.
All right, now. So
I'm sorry.
So we'll go to Kyle now. Hit me, Kyle. What you got?
So I agree with Carrington. I think Melee is the best. That's the one that, besides 64, I played the most of. So I have fond memories of that. I think as he said, you know, the speed is just right for the game. I just have a lot of good childhood memories playing that game.
Gotcha.
My favorite characters, you said one power, one speed. Power, well, we'll do speed first. I guess you consider Marth speed?
Yeah, I'll allow that. Yeah, he's kind of like a heavier speed, but he's still a speed character.
Yeah, so I played him a lot. I enjoyed his moveset that he had and his charges that he had. For power, and I wish Jake was here right now. It's Donkey Kong.
Okay, I'm surprised at that.
I like his, you know, his wind up. I always feel, you know, I don't know, just a nice shot of adrenaline whenever I land a punch. just perfectly on a character.
Be honest, Kyle. Be honest. You just want to pick people up and then walk off the edge.
Shut up. Yes. I was getting there. Yes. Two things. So in 64, you could, on Hyrule Castle or whatever, Hyrule or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
On the right side of the screen, under the, call it a tunnel. I don't know what you call it. The building that you can go inside. If you start doing the move where he starts pounding the ground, you get someone stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
They can rack up a lot of hit points.
Dirty player right here, guys. Yep. Just letting everybody know.
And then I have fond memories of playing with people that would brag about how good they are. And mid-game, they would just continue to brag. And I just picked them up. And my goal throughout that entire match was to pick them up and run off the cliff with them.
Ugh, it's happened to all of us. I think we'd all be lying if we didn't have that happen to us at some point.
Just crush their dreams. I don't care how good you are. If I can walk off the cliff with you, I will. Because it just brings joy to my heart.
My man.
So, yeah. Which that leaves us with you.
Well, I think Cody, unless he needs more time to gather his thoughts.
I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Go for it.
You're not going to have any kind of input?
Come on. I'm not that unaware of Nintendo games.
He's got this. Come on, Cody. I have faith in you. Go.
So I pick Super Smash Bros. Melee because that is the only one I've ever played.
Okay. No, that's fair.
That's fair. That's fair.
And then,
like I said, Brawl is the forbidden stepchild, so don't worry about it.
Okay. And then I enjoy playing as Ness, just to trap someone in a corner and just go PK fire, PK fire, PK fire. At them, like, continuously.
Oh, my gosh.
I, like, never move, and then I win. But that's my strategy. Or use Kirby, and then you, like, float up in the air and then turn into the rock and smash people. Yeah.
Like Dwayne Johnson?
Sure.
Yes, actually.
Yeah, those two are my favorite. I don't know the difference between speed and power characters. I just pick them two. So that's my right.
Fair enough.
That's
fair
pretty
enough.
Much my expansive knowledge of Nintendo.
Powerful stuff. I think we all learned something today. But no, but cool, dude. All right.
What about
I'm sorry. You know, one of these times, Cody, you're gonna have to come up with one of your something that's specific to you, so at least one of us is like over here feeling like they don't know what they're talking about, you know.
We can talk about Destiny.
There you go. And I'll be like, yeah.
We could talk Assassin's Creed, but I don't know if that's suitable topics,
Ubisoft
I'm not opposed. Like an indie kind of studio, right? Sure.
Technically. Technically.
But anyway, no, for me, of course, I have to be the contrarian. It's my nature. But now I'm going to have to go with 64. Super Smash 64 is where my heart is.
If you were to say Brawl, I'd be like, you're out of the family.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had worse. But no, I was not a fan of Brawl. I will be on that. I am with everybody else. I didn't care for Brawl. I think 4, I played it just, you know, a handful of times I played 4, and I think it's a really good solid installment. But I have most experience with 64. It's, you know, I guess it takes me back to a simpler time, not only when I had a lot more time and freedom, but also it was just like was still like just basic. It, like there was definitely skill to it, and you know, but it wasn't, I don't know, wasn't quite as busy, I guess, if that makes sense.
I think there was only what, maybe 16 characters at the most.
At the most, maybe like a dozen, but
just get to the point. The TV commercial sold you.
Oh, that is the best TV commercial till one of this day. I still remember that commercial.
I know. Except for all of you who may not know what we're talking about, look it up. It is epic.
It is on YouTube. Also, like, no excuse to not know what that commercial is.
Yeah,
looking it up.
I mean.
Thanks for the status update. So.
Like I said, 64 is definitely my favorite, and as far as characters go, my favorite overall, but I do have a speed character that's like a close second, but my power character and my favorite has and always will be Captain Falcon. It's my boy. kind of the same feeling that you talk about, Cody, like, or not Cody, Kyle, when you land one of those Donkey Kong punches. It's like when you hit somebody with the Falcon Punch, it's perfectly timed. So it just like brings a tear to your eye
when you get hit by a Falcon Punch. Like, oh gosh, I'm dead.
So, and I don't know. I just liked him because he was a good combination. Like, he's, I think in later installments, maybe it's just because I'm not as skilled like in that particular, you know, version, and you know the controller's different and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like they kind of nerfed him. I don't know. I just feel like he didn't quite have the speed, like the top end speed. I don't feel like was quite there, and I don't think the power was quite there like it was in the first one. Mm-hmm. But no, and go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think it's just not enough experience, because he is one of the top tier characters in Melee and Brawl and 4.
Oh, fair enough. It's probably it is. I mean, I played 64 four times as much as any of the others easily. I mean, but no, it's like with him, like, it's just that nice combination of speed. You know, he had enough speed to get where he was going in a hurry, and obviously a ton of power. So no, definitely Captain Falcon. And Pikachu would be my speed character, and that, because that dude, he is just nasty. I mean, you know it. I can tell from the reaction. It's like when you get somebody who knows what they're doing with Pikachu, you're gonna have a bad day. So no, I mean, he's so much fun. Like, I've like, actually, that's the thing. Like, and that's why maybe you're right, Carrington. I'm sure you're right, because you played more of them overall, I think, than I have, Carrington. But I didn't feel that same drop off with Pikachu. Like, I'm not as good with Pikachu as I am on the 64 version in the other versions, but I still think I'm decent for my skill levels, especially with Pikachu, like on the later installments. But I just don't feel like that my abilities translated as well with Falcon. I don't know if that was just coincidental or what, but
I will say, I think Pikachu is definitely more consistent than Captain Falcon is, because in Melee, he's really fast. And I think he's a little OP. And then by the time you go over to Smash 4, he's not as powerful. And I think Ganondorf is the more of the favorite, because he does have the same movesets as Captain Falcon. And I think in Smash 4, Ganondorf is more popular.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
I'll agree with you as far as someone who knows how to play Pikachu can be a force to reckon with.
Yeah.
But when you get someone who doesn't know how to play Pikachu and doesn't know how to double jump with Pikachu, then you're just jumping off cliffs all day like me.
The one, and they, and once again, there's probably others in the ones, like I said, I haven't played as much. Star Fox is a Pikachu killer if you know what you're doing.
Hmm. Oh, really?
I mean, that's just, I don't know what you think, Carrington. Would you agree with that? Like, I don't know, something about Star Fox. If you know what you're doing, you can just wreck Pikachu.
I think the more speedy characters like Fox and Sheik are more force, like, or you're like really heavy hitters, like you're super heavy hitters, like Ganondorf, Bowser, and Donkey Kong are good counters to Pikachu.
Mm. Yeah. The ones that can pick other players up and walk off cliffs.
Say, I was going to say, like, Donkey Kong is pretty much a counter to anybody in the right hands. It's like you can pretty much turn any match into a one life sudden death.
He's a counter to himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
interesting to note, Mario being the most iconic, not picked.
Oh. Too bad Sonic wasn't even there to get picked, but
he is there. he's in
later installments. Okay.
I do choose Sonic when I'm like in a, like one of like I'm in a fun mood, but if I'm like in a serious competitive mood, I don't pick Sonic.
Yeah, he's not a very good character, I guess, and maybe that's the way to put it. But well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll let Kyle lead us out.
One thing,
I lead it out.
All right, I'm gonna go make a rap song. We should do a Smash tourney sometime and record it. Just saying,
that sounds fun. Just saying. Yeah, I could do that. Cody, you'll have to buy a Nintendo product and start practicing. But you know, give you time.
Super Smash on Game Boy Color is really good.
Are we gonna leave that as a poll question then, Kyle? Are we gonna try to throw that up somewhere? At least like favorite Smash? Super Smash game, if not character, because that kind of gets big. But or if somebody wants to post, like they can leave comments on.
Yeah, characters. That's a good game. So or a good yeah, That's a good game. Super Smash Brothers is a good game. And a good question to that is, what is your favorite Super Smash game out of the last, you know, generations? And what is, if you want, if you're feeling, you know, sprucey enough, you can tell us who your favorite character is, light or heavy, or just your favorite character in general. You can leave it in the comments. You can tweet it at us. Whatever you're feeling. That's great. Yeah, that's actually a really good question. Guys, you can follow us on Twitter, at RealDudes_pod, Instagram, Facebook, RealDudesPod. If you have questions, if you want us to have any topics for us to discuss, if you have any games that have NPCs and you want to describe the game through their point of view, you can email them to us at podcast@realdudespodcast.com. I think that is it. Anything else you guys want to throw in there before we end it?
I think we're good.
I think we're good. I think the next episode we do is the Star Wars special.
Yeah.
So look out for that.
Aw, dang.
Star Wars. Bye.
Bye.
Now, the question. EA, have you failed us for the last time?
No more.
All right, we're out.
it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.